I watched a preacher on a video the other day. He comes on television every Sunday. He's real famous, if I called his name. And he walks out. He doesn't carry a Bible. He has no pulpit. He quotes, if you're lucky, he'll quote part of a verse, and then he'll leave it. The rest of what he says has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. And people by the thousands just go see this man. Well, that's the day we're living in. Amen? That's the day we're living in. I want to talk about a little bit this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4, on what to do as we see that end approaching. Amen. What to do as you see that end approaching. And we are at the end. We're at the very end. I believe that with all my heart. So let's look at it. Verse 1 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." In other words, be ready to suffer. "For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness," that's loose living, "lust, excessive wine, revelings," a new word would be partying, "banquets," that's feast, "and abominable idolatries," like gay parades, "wherein they think it strange that you should not run with them to the excess," the same excess, "of riot, speaking evil of you." In other words, this old world's going to talk bad about you because you don't live in such excess. There's nothing wrong with a lot of these things, but the excess is what makes it wrong. "Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Now, there's a contradiction. Some that don't know how to read the Bible think. But if you go to Ephesians 1, he says, "Ye who were dead." He's talking about spiritual dead people. He said, so look at it that way. "For this cause the gospel was preached also to them that are spiritually dead." They're blind like we were. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Now look at verse 7. "But to the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Help me, Lord, as I try to preach. And Lord, You gave me the message. Now I pray You'd give me ears that would hear and hearts that would receive. And Lord, I don't know. I know Jesus had 12 and one of His group was lost. And so surely, Lord, out of this crowd, somebody may not know You. So I pray today if there's one among us that doesn't know You, You would convict and convert them, draw them to the Savior. And for those of us that are saved, Lord, help us as we journey here in this wicked time that we live in. If You would help us, Lord, to journey in fear. That means look for You to come and look for judgment to come. And remember that judgment is coming, that we would be witnesses to people that we say we love. And we'd tell them and live right in front of them. And whatever happens, we'll say Jesus did it. And we'll give Him the glory and Him the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, as we journey here in these last days, we need to know what to do. Now, we don't need to be monks. You know, these monks, they call themselves monks. That's not in the Bible. They'll hide themselves off somewhere up in a hill, way off in the mountains, you know, and in some monastery, and they claim to pray all day and read the Bible all day. Well, that's not going to help anybody. I mean, to separate yourself that far, you're no use to God. God can't use you to witness. He can't use you to be a testimony. You've separated yourself so far. And I know Baptists do the same thing. That's not going to help anybody. We have to realize we are in the last days. And because we're in the last days, there's some things we need to do. And I'm going to show you about six or seven here real quick. Number one, He reminded us in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is the end. We're at that time to where time's just about out. And I know you say, well, preacher, you know my daddy said that, my grandpa said that, and the Apostle Paul said that. Well, we're that much closer. We're that much closer. And they were right too. And the lifespan of mankind, 70, 80 years, my mom was very unusual, 97 years old. The average person, 70-something, 80-something years old, lived. That's not a vapor on God's timetable. That means nothing. So, yes, they have said it. But, yes, that makes it one generation closer and one generation closer and one generation closer. The time is at hand. We're just about there. I'm not looking for signs. I'm looking for the Savior. The signs are done. I'm not looking for some tsunami or some earthquake. That's all been done. They talk about weather. Well, He gave me a rainbow to tell me that the weather's not it anymore. I'm not watching the weather. Amen? That's why I don't believe in climate change. God made it. He put it in process. Only He can change it. You can't affect this world. Amen. Most of us grew up in a nation where everybody burned coal and they burned wood and they burned oil. And around the mill hill in the mornings, you could see a dark cloud hanging over everybody's house where everybody was burning wood and coal trying to cook their breakfast and get warm. And all of that, hey, it dissipated into the atmosphere and out into space. God made it that way. We don't have to worry about that stuff. I'm not worrying about the weather. I'm not worrying about a giant wave. I'm not worrying about another ice age or... if I believed in a global warming, I'd really be happy because they say that Myrtle Beach is going to be in Columbia. It wouldn't be but 1 hour away. The ocean would be 1 hour away instead of three. Amen? And so we're not looking for that. He said, the time is at hand, the end of all things. And look, the first thing He told us was, be saved, sober. Be sober. You know what that means? Have a clear head. Be in your right mind. Be sober. I'd hate to be caught drunk when the trumpet sounds. Amen? You wouldn't even know what was happening. I'd hate to be on drugs or something like that where I couldn't think straight. But I'll tell you, the number one thing we need to do is be sober. Keep in your right mind. Now, how do you do that? By the Word of God. the Word of God. You can't trust society. You can't trust politics. You can't trust popular opinions. All those things will deceive you and drunken you in your mind. You'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You need to stay in the Word of God, and it'll keep your mind set on Him. Amen? You'll be sober. You say, "Preacher, I feel like I got Alzheimer's." Well, you're just old. You don't have Alzheimer's. We all getting it. Amen? I leave things. I walk in one room and wonder why I went in there, and then I walk into other rooms and wonder what I left in the other room that I had got while I was there. And then I wonder why. What was it that I lost? I can't even remember what I lost sometimes. Time, man, where was I supposed to be? But the Word of God, that settles my mind. That keeps me sober right there. Politicians come out every day. They run polls. They see what you like, what you don't like. The evening news and all these things. Have you ever noticed there will be a cloud on the new Doppler radar over Chiral, South Carolina? Chiral, over Kershaw, and right before they go to those five commercials they want you to sit through before they come back, hang on, big storm on the way, devastation, high winds, tornado warnings, so you'll hang on to their channel and let them show their stupid five commercials and come back, and then they'll tell something else, and then they'll do it to you again. Hang on, big storm coming. You can't believe the stuff they tell you on television. And then you go out there and you roll up your car windows, batten down the hatches, tie down the dog and everything else, and the storm never comes. Amen? You can't believe all the stuff this world throws at you. We've got to stay sober. We've got to keep our mind in the Word of God. That's the only thing going to do it. All right, number two, he says, watch unto prayer. We got to pray. I think probably this is the most prayerless generation of the church since the beginning. I really believe this is the most prayerless generation of the church. I'm talking about saved people of the church. Boy, we used to hear about it. We don't hear about it anymore. We used to hear about prayer. We used to hear about all-night prayer meetings. We used to hear about people that prayed through and prayed it down and prayed it up and prayed it in. You don't hear that stuff anymore. We don't pray like we used to. We need to watch. We need to pray. You say, what are we going to pray for? You pray for other people if you're saved. Amen. You pray for your church. You run out of anything else to pray for, pray for your preacher. I need all the prayer I can get. You need to practice. Amen. Number two. He said, look at verse 8. He said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, if you want to read what that word charity means, it means a giving kind of love that expects nothing in return. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he describes what that kind of love is. Charity doesn't expect anything. It just goes out and it loves people. It doesn't expect anything in return. It never gets mad at you. It never gets ill, you know. The charity suffers long. It'll always be there. Even when you're not loving whoever that is, when you get back, they'll still love you. And he said, that's what we need to do. We need to love each other. We need to overlook each other's sin sometimes. You need to forgive people. It's just by the grace of God that you didn't do that. Just by the grace of God, you're not a drunk. The grace of God, you're not a drug addict. It's the grace of God, you're not perverted or messed up. It's just the grace of God, you're not in jail. You ought to forgive people. You ought to love people. He says that, now that's how you get ready for the last day, Brother Billy. Not build a big stockade and everybody hide behind it. No, sir. He says, now you pray, you be sober, and you love people. Because that love covers a multitude of sins. You and your wife ain't always going to get along, but if you love each other, you'll overlook some things. Matter of fact, you won't even mention them. Amen. Now, I know women like to talk about it, but I'm a man. And look, love forgives. Love forgives. Love forgets. Let me tell you something. In the day we live in, we don't have time to carry grudges. We don't have time to be mean or mad because Jesus is at hand and people need to be saved. And Brother Rick, how are they ever going to be saved if they come down to the church of God? And he said, judgment must begin at the church of God. How are they going to get saved if they come down to the church of God and you got this crowd over here mad at this crowd, and this crowd mad at that crowd, and that crowd mad at that crowd, and she didn't like the way she dressed today, and he didn't like the way he looked today, and that stuff goes around, pretty soon you don't have a church. You just have a mess. You get mad at the preacher because he preaches the Bible. What do y'all think I'm supposed to do when I come down here? Not preach the Bible? You say, well, preacher, I don't agree with that. Why? Well, it's not my job to run a poll to find out if somebody agrees with it. It's not even my job to know if I agree with it. The Bible is the Bible. Whatever it is, that's what we're supposed to preach and teach. Amen? Well, I'm mad at you. Well, don't get mad at me. Love me. I'm just trying to do my job. Amen? You do your job. You love me. You love one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. And real quick, I'm getting bogged down. Listen, look at verse 9. What am I supposed to do in the last days? Right here at the very end, as the end approaches. Number one, I'm supposed to be sober. Number two, I'm supposed to watch and pray. Number three, I'm supposed to love people. Number four, look at verse 9. But use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know what he's saying? They don't use it much anymore, but we used to have places they called hospitals. What do they call them now? Medical center. They don't call them hospital because hospitality means you love somebody, you're doing it because you love them. You don't expect anything. You don't expect payment for it. You're doing it out of the generosity of your heart, and if they pay you for it, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine too. Hospitality. And he said in the last days of all people on planet earth, Christians ought to be hospitable. Boy, that's a long word for a boy from Lancaster to spit out. We ought to be hospitable. We ought to be nice to people. We ought to be kind to one another. Let's keep going. I can tell that one irritated you a little bit. The next one, look at he says not to one another, not grudging. Forget about things. Don't expect stuff. Verse 10, as every man had received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards. You know what he's saying? God's give every child of God a gift. If you're saved, God's giving you a spiritual gift of some kind, or maybe multiple gifts. And as we approach these last days, it's not time to say, well, I used to do that, but I got burned out. I ain't doing that no more. It's not time to say, well, I used to sing in the choir, but I got my feelings hurt. Well, Barney Fife, if we all waited till we didn't get our feelings hurt, we wouldn't do a stinking thing. Amen? We're going to get our feelings hurt. He said, God gave you a gift, practice it. Do what? Now, I don't know what your gift is. God's given you gifts, and you may not be outspoken, but you've got something that God, a talent, a gift that God's given you. And he says, in these last days, use those. Don't hide them under a bush. Bring them out and use them. Amen? Look at verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Do you see that? Whatever we do, whatsoever you eat, you drink, do all to the glory of God. Amen. You can't drink Budweiser to the glory of God. We used to have these company meetings at one company I worked for, and the fella asked me, could I say the blessing over that meal? I said, you going to have alcohol? He said, yeah. I said, well, I probably won't show up, but even if I did, I can't pray over that alcohol. It's never done anybody any good, and I can't ask God to bless that stuff. It's destroyed everything it ever touched. He said, well, preacher, you kind of prude and old-fashioned. No, I just believe the Bible. Amen? And so what we've got to do, everything we do to the glory of God. You go over there at that nursing home, there's people down there that can't do much, but you get them up there to sing or they testify or something like that, they're doing it to the glory of God. You leave them alone. You let them do that. Amen? Get busy, all right? Now, excuse me, verse 12, look at it. Mark this. Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something strange happened to you. He said Jesus suffered them. He said Jesus suffered. He suffered all the way to the cross. Now, why is it, Brother Billy, that we as Christians think that we got saved, we're never supposed to have another problem? You just made the biggest enemy on planet Earth, the devil. You think he's not going to do something? He's going to do something. Amen. He's going to attack you. You're going to have fiery trials. Now, he didn't bother you before you got saved. You could go down there at the beer joint and turn up one after another and just, woo! Go home, sleep it off, wake up with a hangover, get a little hair of the dog that bit you and start all over, woo! And have all kind of friends. Ride in the poker run. Just have friends everywhere. Y'all can't believe I said that, can you? We was going down the road one day. Me and Brother Tommy was out visiting soul winning. We was going down the road. And these guys were coming out of this bar. Must have been 1,000 of them, you know. I didn't know what a poker room was anyway. He said, it's just a glorified reason to get drunk is all it is. Go from place to place drinking. But they'll say it's raising money for children. It's for the children. And, boy, they all come running out there. And I just keep on driving. It's the American Legion. I didn't stop. This guy was sitting out there going, he said, Brother Tommy said, you ain't going to stop? I said, he ain't no cop. I said, he ain't got no badge on. I said, nobody deputized him. He's a drunk that wants all the other drunks to get out of the American Legion and follow him down the road to get another drink somewhere else. And they in a hurry. I ain't stopping. I just kept right on going. He said, preacher, I wouldn't do that. I know you wouldn't. But let me tell you something. We, as children of God, need to realize that the devil in their crowd is not going to give us applause. They're not going to sympathize with us. They're not going to approve of us unless we compromise and become like them. And so if you don't compromise and you live in the final days that we live in, you're going to have problems. The devil doesn't like you, and the world doesn't like you. And you have problems. So why don't you be a big boy and grow up and throw your shoulders back and stand up straight and say, hallelujah anyhow. Amen? Amen. That's the day we live in. And as we get closer to the end, it's going to be less and less that the world likes you and more that the devil hates you. So as we wait on the very last days, we need to stand up and be counted. Take the tribulation when it comes. Glorify God. I've been full and I've been empty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God give us. God take us away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I got to hurry. Y'all ain't listening fast enough. Go over to chapter 5. Look over at chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Humble therefore yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I want you to underline that word humble. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Don't wait for God to do it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, what he's saying is this, in these last days, with God's hand on us, Brother Roy, sometimes he puts us through this stuff. He does. It had to go through his hand, the mighty hand of God, every bit of it. That's why he says, for saved people, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of them that love God, them that's called according to his purpose. It's not, that's not for lost people. That's for saved people. And so when I'm going through trial, tribulation, whatever it may be God that's doing that. Amen. It may be God just, he did he not turn the devil loose on Lot? Did he not turn, and Lot was child of God. Amen. And Job, of course, everybody thinks of Job, but Lot was a better example. God put that man through a lot because he got out of the will of God and God wanted to do something. Now listen, the day that we're in, it may be we just need to humble ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm somebody in Christ. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm kept by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. I'm a child of God. I've been adopted by God. Hey, look, it's all in His hands. There's no better Father in the universe. I belong to Him. But at the same time, I'm nothing and I'm nobody. I'm a pile of dirt. Created by the Creator of the universe for His glory and His honor, and except for Him, I'm nothing. And I'm afraid we've got a whole generation of Christians that think they're somebody, and they think God owes them something, and they think we owe them something, and we don't, and He doesn't. And let me tell you something, we need to humble ourselves before the hand of mighty God. Humility is the most sought for thing in the Christian life because it's not natural. Pride's natural. Pride's natural. And we know pride always goes before a fall. But in these last days, while we're being mocked and we're being made fun of and we're being ridiculed and we're being slandered and we're being misunderstood, we just humble ourselves. I've said it thousands of times, I'll say it again. I don't have to defend myself. I've got a God in heaven, and it's His job to take care of me and defend me. I don't have to defend myself. And by the way, by their works, by their fruits, you shall know them. And when people start attacking you because of your Christian life, if you've got the fruit behind you already, if you've already done what you were supposed to do and the fruit's there, God will shut those mouths. And God, and it may take years, brother, but God will prove them wrong. You won't have to do it. God will do it. Now you start doing it, and it's going to look like they're right. You start standing up, you start defending yourself for everything everybody accuses you of. The news media accuse us of being homophobes and Islamophobe and all this stuff. No, we're just children of God trying to sojourn here in fear and live a godly life, and we're just trying to help people. And you can't help people unless you help them see what's wrong. If a man's pushing a needle in his arm, I need to tell him, brother, that's going to kill you. You need some help. Let me help you. Well, you're just prejudiced against heroin addicts. No. Look, I don't have to defend what I do, what I say, or nothing, because God will defend us. And what we have to do is humble ourselves enough, Brother Ron, to let Him defend us. Because we want to get mad and want to get in the flesh. And I know you do. You're Burgess. It's in your blood, brother. And you want to get mad and jump up and ball up our fist. Your wife probably still got a gun somewhere. Yeah, yeah, where is she? Where is she? She done got mad at me and left. We ain't got her gun. But some of y'all carry pistols, everything else. And you want to get mad, you want to throw your chest out and start. What we need to do is just humble ourselves and say, look, you're right. I told a lady one day, I knocked on her door. She said, I heard about you. You are the sorriest preacher in town. And I heard this and I heard that and I started crying. I said, ma'am, you're absolutely right. I'm not much of a preacher and I need some prayer and I want you to help me. Pray for me. She started crying. She said, well, preacher, don't cry. Amen. Humble yourself. Let them talk about you. They talked about him. Let them lie about you. They lied about him. Let them misunderstand. They misunderstood him too. Let them persecute you sometime. A little persecution wouldn't hurt you. It'd make you stronger. We got to do it. We got to humble ourselves in these last days. And see that last part at verse, that he may exalt you in due time. This ain't your time, Billy. The trumpet hadn't sounded yet. You're not in heaven yet. This is the closest thing I'm ever going to get to hell right here. I'm right next door. I ain't going to hell, but I'm right next door to it. Amen? It ain't but one step to hell from here. And this ain't heaven. I don't expect everything to be good all the time. I don't expect everything to go the way that I want it to go. And my plans usually don't go anyway the way I plan them. And so what I've got to do, I've got to humble myself and say, Lord, you're right. I am nobody. I'm not going to try to be a somebody that I'm not. I'm going to try to be a child of God. And Lord, if you want them to see you and me, that's going to be your job. But I know one day the trumpet's going to sound and I'm going to be a new person, completely 100% new body. Everything's going to be brand new. And hey, I got more news for you. At the great white throne judgment, Brother Rick, they're going to be standing out there getting ready to be judged, and you're going to be behind the throne, saved already, arrived. And God exalts you that day. Amen. When they look on us behind that great white throne, all those multitudes of saved people and all the multitudes of lost, when they see us up there saved in our glorified bodies, robes of white and, man, righteousness of Christ, they're going to say, man, I never thought he'd make it. Amen. You'll get exalted. Wait on it. This ain't your time for that. That's what you do in these last days. You wait for the Lord to exalt you. And by the way, he'll give you a little exaltation down here every once in a while if you'll humble yourself. Brother Billy, you ever heard this? You get talking to somebody about going to church and they'll say, well, you know, I heard old so-and-so goes down there. And you say, yeah. And they say, if he's a Christian, the woods is full of them. I ain't coming down there. You ever heard that? And in some cases, it's true. Some cases true. But let me tell you something. Every once in a while, you'll invite somebody to church. They'll say, hey, they'll get a smile on their face. They'll say, hey, don't old so-and-so go to that church? And you'll say, yeah. They'll say, man, what a change has happened in that person. God had to do that. You'll get your little exaltation every once in a while. You probably won't be there to hear it, but you'll get it. Amen? If you humble yourself. What are we going to do, preacher? Looks like we got the Antichrist in the White House. The beast is in the Congress. The false prophet is in the House of Representatives. Amen. The devil's children's running Hollywood and everything else. What are we going to do, preacher? Well, we're going to submit. We're going to be sober. We're going to pray. We're going to watch. We're going to be hospitable. We're going to have grace. We're going to humble ourselves. And then look at this. Verse 7 of chapter 5. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dr. Charles Weigel, was a Nazarene preacher. He was about 80-something years old when he wrote that song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. And the way it happened was, I heard Dr. Jack Kyle said that they were at the Bill Rice Ranch. And Bill Rice was a famous Baptist preacher, and he had a ranch for the deaf, a place like a camp for deaf children. And they had a big conference there every year. And they invited Dr. Weigel to come preach and sing. And Dr. Howell said he was going to go to Dr. Weigel's cabin to visit with him for a few minutes. And so he got up to the door and he heard something. Sounded like somebody jumping up on springs, jumping up and down on springs, jumping up and down the bed. He thought some kids done got in there and they're jumping up and down the bed. He said, so I opened the door and here's an 80-something-year-old man jumping up and down on the bed going, woo! Woo! He said, Dr. Weigel, what's wrong with you? He said, I thought he done lost his mind. He said, I just realized it. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. I know it looks bad, but you know what? Hey, nobody's ever understood you. Nobody's ever loved you. Nobody's ever stayed with you. Nobody's ever cared for you like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's that one that walked in when everybody else walked out. He walked in and he loved you just the way you were, and he loved you enough to change you too. Amen. So what are we going to do, preacher? Well, we're going to humble ourselves and we're going to cast all our cares on him. And then verse 8 in chapter 5, be sober. There it is again. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, all right, now, again, keep stay in your right mind. Be sober. Be vigilant. That means be ready. Be ready. Because your adversary, the devil, whether you believe it or not, the devil's real. He's just as real as God is. He is a created being. He's not a spook that floats around and haunts your house. Might be some of you in-laws, but that's not the devil. He's not some spook that floats around trying to... No, he's a real created being. Now, he can't be but one place at one time. A lot of times people say, well, the devil's been at my house all week, and I'm sitting there wondering, well, who was that over at my house? You know, some little demon, you know, some little demon. But he's walking about. Yep. Now, I take the Bible literally where it will allow me to take it literally. I take it literally. Yep. If it says he's walking about, he's walking about. He stood before, the Bible says sons of God appeared before God one day, and the devil came, old Satan, old Lucifer, old Slewfoot. He came and he said, what you been doing, devil? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. And then he sicked the devil on Job. Now let me tell you something. He's an eternal being. He hadn't died. And that same devil that accused Job is accusing you. And he's walking. And he's trying to find some little weak sheep. Andy Stanley said in a recent sermon that we shouldn't call the preacher the pastor anymore, because pastor led to the thought of a shepherd, and shepherd led to the thought of sheep, and nobody owns sheep anymore, so nobody knows what you're talking about. You know what I say about that? Amen. You got goats. That's right. That's right. I'll pastor you goats. We know what he's talking about, don't we? He's looking for a weak sheep that a lion would look for, that's fallen behind the flock, and he was ready to devour that one. He said, watch out for that devil. When you get weak and you start getting behind, the devil's going to grab you, buddy. Why is it when people get hurt or they get discouraged or they misunderstand or get misunderstood or get their feelings hurt, Brother Bill, why is it the first thing those people do is quit church? They leave the flock. You know what happened, Brother Billy, when you leave the flock? The wolves are out there ready to get you. The lion is out there ready to get you. You say, you're just trying to scare me. Yeah, I am. Because I'll be the one that has to come to the hospital and see you. You may not want me right now, but you will. I'll be the one that preaches the funeral. Amen. By the way, I'm planning on outliving you all. I got your funerals ready, every one of them. But you see, he's walking about, brother. He's got your number. He knows your house number. He knows your phone number. And look, he ain't over there at the crowbar. I don't think that place even exists anymore. He ain't at the country corral or whatever throwing up joint you hung out at. He's coming to your house. He's coming to your job. He's coming to your church.
Amen.
When Pastor Jimmy Moore died, I was youth pastor at Grace Baptist Church on White Street. You remember that? She was a little girl. Her and her sister used to, and their mama would come there about that tall. That's a pretty little girl, sweet. I don't know what happened to them. But they used to come. And Jimmy Moore got sick. The pastor died. I was just in my 20s. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I was a young preacher and didn't grow up in church. Hadn't ever seen nothing like that. And the church, of course, was falling apart. You was there. And it's probably that first or second Sunday after he died, I got up to preach, and I looked back there in the back of the church. There was two nice-looking young white men, black suits, white shirts, black tie. After it was over, I went back there to greet them. And they introduced themselves as Elder So-and-so and Elder So-and-so. They were from the Mormon Church. they had heard that that church was having problems. This is what they told me. We come to see if we could be any help. They weren't angels. They were devils. And they were looking for, Mormons looking for pitiful, weak Baptists to sweep into that cult. It's a cult. Preacher, you sound mean. No, I just sound like Baptist preachers used to sound. Listen to me. Last, I got to hurry. I'm going to finish. Listen. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, stand. Stand. Resist. Stand. Resist steadfast. Stand still. Don't move. Pastor, things are changing. Churches are changing. Preaching's changing. Teaching's changing. Things that were once acceptable are not are now acceptable. Things that we didn't even talk about in public are now out in public. People that never would have stood up and said things are now standing up and saying things. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to stand steadfast and resist that stuff. Amen. You stick with the book. We used to sing that at the children's church. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The Bible. Amen. You remember it from camp. Amen. It had another verse. It said, God's Word will never fail, never fail, never fail. That's right. So, what am I going to do, David? Well, the world's attacking me. The old devil's over at my house today, Clinton. He's about got me. I feel like I'm going under. What am I supposed to do? Get the Word of God. Humble yourself. Love people. Hey, have hospitality. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back up. Don't give in. Just stand. You'll never find, out of all the apostles that were martyred, they were killed for faith in Jesus Christ, you'll never find where one of them backed up or apologized for anything. Amen. Not one. They all died proclaiming faith in the resurrected Savior. Every one of them. Yes, and we can't even get people to stand up for the simple things of the Word of God now. Did you know in China today there's people meeting in a house and they're risking their life. Now there's churches over there, but they're government approved. That tells you something. Anytime the government gets in, you better leave it alone. These are house churches, and they're meeting in there under the threat of death, and yet they go to church. There's Christians this week in Afghanistan, Libya, all those Middle Eastern countries, there's Christians, believe it or not. About 1-2% of the population. They're going to get up and go to a job tomorrow that is the lowest and the sorriest of all the jobs in society because of what they believe. They can't get good jobs. And if they witness in public, out loud, they'll be killed today. And you got mad because you had to set your clock so you get up in time for Sunday school. And you don't want to be too hard on your children with the Bible and church. And you don't want to, people tell me this all the time, I'm not going to make my children go to church because I was made to go to church when I was little and it turned me against church. No, it didn't. Your sin turned you against church. And now you're going to turn your children over to the devil. And hey, if I was lost and going to hell and refused to go to church, I'd put my kids on a church bus or in somebody else's van and send them to church anyway because I know what it would do. We need to stand. We need to resist steadfastly. Don't move. We used to sing that song, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. We grit our teeth. I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. You know what they were saying? They weren't moving from this. He said, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You ever heard that old saying? No pain, no gain. He said, you go on, you endure this. You go on, you humble yourself. You go on, you pray. Hey, you stick to it. And after you've gone through all of this stuff, God is going to establish you. He's going to set you up. He's going to fix you. He's going to put you where he wants you to be. And he's going to give you the strength to do whatever you got to do for the glory of God. You just go ahead. Let him establish you. You don't have to prove nothing, brother. He'll prove it. Let him establish you. Let him prove. Now, what are we going to do in these last days, preacher, while we wait for the end? We're going to be Christians. Look up here. I'm not carrying any signs. I'm not marching in any marches. I'm not protesting in any protest. I'm going to, by the grace of God, live the testimony I ought to have, and by the grace of God, I'm going to be what I ought to be, and by the grace of God, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ, thereby serving others, by the grace of God, that others might see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Carrying signs ain't going to do it. Shout, Westboro Baptist Church, that preacher ought to get saved. Those people are being misled. He ought to be saved. And there's a lot of others like that too. Hey, and I agree with him on a lot of stuff, but I ain't carrying no sign. I'm not hurting people, embarrassing people, putting people down. It's my job to preach the gospel. Amen. That's what we're going to do, Rick. Stand up. Stand up. You going to stand with me?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Now. Come on. Hey. Me and you, brother. I got me a help right here. But I got news for you. There's one a lot bigger than him standing right here. You say, preacher, you don't have hard times. I do. Hey, there are not many nights, child of God, don't cry. There are not many nights we don't hurt. There are not many nights, days that we don't go through trial and tribulation. But guess what? We've got a helper. And he's bigger than anything or anybody on this old sorry planet. And if we like the Deacon Philip who was stoned to death, you know what we'll do, Rick? We'll look up to heaven like he did and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we'll see Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. As we go up to him, we'll see him. And is that not what we live for? I don't live for Joel Osteen's new car. I don't live for Ernest Ainsley's new house. My home is up above. I'm just barely here, just passing through. We don't have many more years. What are you going to do? It's coming. I don't know how dark it's going to be before it gets here. I don't know how hard it's going to get, but I know the one that's got it all in his plan, and I'm just going to trust him. You going to vote? Yeah, I'm going to vote. Really don't have a whole lot to vote for, but I'm going to vote. Are you going to be a good citizen? I am. I'm going to be as good as I can be. I'm going to obey the laws. As long as it don't go against Scripture, I'm going to obey the law. I'm not hating anybody. I'm not against anybody. I'm just going to resist and stand steadfast, and I shall not be moved. And if that makes friends or enemies, I won't be moved. If that causes trial, tribulation, reward, I shall not be moved. If that causes misunderstanding, hurt feelings, I shall not be moved. Because the trumpet's fixing to sound, brother. And here's what I want to say. Come thou into the joys of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God.